I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we're recording on today, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. I extend my respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander listeners that we have joining us. Sovereignty has never been ceded. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land. Jess is a psychic medium based in Melbourne, Australia. Her gift is connecting with her client's energy to identify obstacles they might be facing, provide guidance for the situation, whilst simultaneously connecting with her client's departed loved ones in the spirit world. She reads with laughter, love, and compassion, and brings spirit forward in their truest form, raw, unfiltered, and full of personality, just as you remember them. Jess spent close to a decade working in the corporate world, working her way up to her dream job before she took a risk and quit to start her own business as a psychic medium. Today, we speak about the power of psychic mediumship, spirituality, intuition versus gut feeling, and the importance of living your passion. We also reflect on the reading that Jess generously gave me before the episode. What an experience. This is Life Chats, deep and meaningful conversations with friends and strangers. So, Jess, thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to talk to you and continue like connecting, because we connected for the first time yesterday when you did my reading. So it'll be amazing to actually hear about your process and your work, and for more people to get to hear more about like how you found this type of work.
Yes, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. It's hard to ignore the big sign behind your head that says, "I talk to dead people."
I know. We're quite obvious here.
I love your like sense of humor and your energy and how your socials are so like blunt. I think that's what a lot of people love, connecting with you in that way. But yeah, for people who don't know you, can you just explain your work, what it is and what it involves?
Yes. So I'm a psychic medium. So I talk to dead people for a living. Basically, my journey started when I was very young. So I lost my nana when I was 12, and she was a massive influence on my life. She basically raised me. And so when she passed, I started sort of thinking, well, there's got to be more than just you go in the ground and then that's the end. So I started looking for ways that I could connect with her. And my family have always been quite hippie and sort of out there. So it wasn't really foreign for me to think that there was going to be more. I just didn't really know what to do with it. So I started doing lots of meditation classes. And particularly when I got to like 17, 18, that's when it really started to kick off. And then I went to all of those mind, body, soul festival things, any freaking thing that I could find. I was like, yes, that is for me. I've just always been drawn to this. And I've always had a really strong gut and intuition and been able to just know things. Like I'll be driving and all of a sudden I like brake really quickly and I'm like, what the hell's going on here? That was like involuntary. And then I see like a car like completely go out of its freaking nut and like swerved in front of me and it would have hit me. There's just these things and these moments where I'm like,
yeah,
how? Like I can't explain how I would have known that. It's like my body knew. It's just bizarre. So I've always had this like really strong intuition, but it wasn't until maybe 5 years ago that I saw a psychic medium and she's like, Jess, you should be able to do this. You should be able to like turn it on and off like a light switch. Wow. And I was like, well, how? And she's like, you'll figure it out. You're going to do it so differently to everybody else. And I was like, oh, okay, then that's helpful. And then I saw another medium who I love and I was so addicted to the way that she read, because she's very blunt, which explains me. So she's very direct in the way she communicates. She was very no bullshit. And I love that, because that's the best way I learn. Like no one like mess around. Like just tell me how it is. If I'm doing shit, just tell me. Like I need to know, because otherwise I'm not going to get better. I don't want sugarcoating.
What's your star sign?
I'm Cancer.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Yeah, sensitive soul. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm quite, well, my granddad who, so it was my Nana who passed and then my granddad was obviously with her and he ended up taking over sort of raising me and he was the most blunt man that you could imagine. So I think he rubbed off on me a lot. So yeah, so I ended up speaking with her, this psychic medium, and I was like, I think I want to explore this more. And she was doing like psychic mediumship classes. So I ended up doing her beginner's course and then her intermediate course. And then she mentored me for a couple of years. I would do free readings for anyone who would let me on the street. Wow. I was just like, I need as much experience as I can because I just want to build up my symbology, which takes a while. When you have more symbols, everything just flows better. When you're first starting mediumship, it feels very clunky because you're still trying to figure out what all of the things mean.
So for people who don't know what symbology is, like, do you see symbols in your mind when you do a reading? Like, what does that actually look like?
Yeah. So for me, I see and I hear and I feel and I sense like this. I use all my different senses to communicate with spirit and they will basically use my memories as symbols. So for instance, if I'm reading for somebody and they have like taken their own life, I will see someone I know in my life who that's happened to. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, oh my God, okay, I know exactly what happened here. Or they might show me things like, when I see ladybugs as like references, it always reminds me of my Nana. Wow. So then it makes me feel like I'm communicating with their Nana. Like there's just these little things that sort of like I pick up along the way and they'll say like one word. So they might say burden. I'm like, okay, so this person didn't want to be a burden on anybody. And I kind of, I don't know, it's just this symbology that kind of builds up over time. And then instead of you being like a clunky medium, which I feel if there's mediums out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about, like the infant stages of doing this. And then over time you just flow more. And yeah, so I was basically doing this on the side for a couple of years, just trying to build up my business and, you know, get more confidence and all of that. So I was actually working full-time as an executive assistant to Peter Alexander. And so that was like my dream job, like working for him. It was amazing and it was all the things, but the travel was just insane. Like I was traveling like 2 hours a day and I was exhausted. And then on the side at home during the night, I'd be doing readings and on weekends. And I finally thought, you know what? I can't do this travel anymore. So I ended up quitting. But I was like, you know what, universe? I want the best job ever next time. I want it to be close to home. I want it to be the pay. I want it to be all the things. So they're like, cool story, Jess. So they gave me this opportunity. It wasn't this job. It was actually another EA role close to home. And I was like, this is everything I could have imagined. So I left PA for the conditions at this new job. 5 days in, I was like, hell no. I'm like, this is a freaking nightmare. I hate it here. And then I said to my wife, Jade, I'm like, I've got to get out of here. I'm like, I can't do this again. I cannot spend years of my life trying to like make someone like me. And this woman I was working for was just not my vibe. And yeah, I ended up going, actually Jade said to me, she's like, just do your business, jump into mediumship. And I was like, no, what if I fail? What if I'm not ready? And she's like, Jess, you have a wait list of 800 people. You're booked solid for a year. Like what the hell is wrong with you? I'm like, oh my God, I know. So yeah, I quit that job. I walked out after 5 days and everyone on Instagram was following my journey because I told them all about it. They're like, what's wrong with you, Jess? You left after 5 days. I'm like, I'm sorry. I am getting the calling. So spirit are very smart. They knew I would never leave PA for my mediumship, but they knew that I would leave some shit job I have no attachment to for mediumship. So here I am full-time in my business and it's been maybe 5 months or so.
That's incredible. That is so inspiring to me because I'm someone who's always like similarly had these amazing jobs that I've worked really hard for that, you know, are like on the outside something to be so proud about. And a lot of people are like, wow, how did you do it? Like, that's amazing. I want to have that sort of role. But like deep down, I just know that that's not what I want to be doing. And I'm just too scared to take the leap into like my own business or my own sort of form of income. So that's very inspiring. I'm hoping maybe spirit will do the same thing for me.
Yes, I hope so. And they think we're dummies too. Like the fact that they like set me up, And I see it as that for sure. I'm like, there is no way that that is a coincidence, that they threw me into something they knew I wouldn't like so that I finally took a risk on myself. And it's paid off.
I trust that like everything happens for a reason or how it's meant to. And sometimes we don't know what that reason or that meaning is until we look back, but then it makes so much sense that things unfolded how they did.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time that you connected with spirit? Like, is that a memory for you that you can recall?
Yeah. Well, the first time that I connected with spirit for somebody else is something that's like completely like burned into my brain, because it was almost like I was remembering something.
Yeah.
Like kind of like I'd been doing this before and I had amnesia, and then all of a sudden it all just came flooding back. Like it was actually bizarre. So when I went to the mediumship class, the first one was like an in-person. So I went with my friend and we were like both like, oh my God, we're so excited. Like, you know, I had no idea what to expect. We did this exercise called sitting in the power. And it's basically a meditation by Tony Stockwell. You guys should check it out. It's amazing. It teaches you how to blend your energy with spirit for you to be able to then open up to receive the messages. So we did this exercise and then we paired up with someone and you had to sort of just connect to them, close your eyes and connect to them and just see what you're starting to sense and feel. And I started sensing this man come through, and kind of like I said before, with the type of man that I know who had taken his life, I got that reference. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, hang on, why am I thinking about that guy when I'm trying to channel for this woman? I'm like, this is weird. And then I started feeling all these characteristics and seeing this man, and I started describing what I was seeing, and she's like, oh my God, that's my dad. And I was like, oh, wow, this is blowing my mind. I started talking about what he looked like, what his personality was like. And she was like, this is just ridiculous. Like, this is dead on. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I looked over to my friend and I saw her sitting there and she was just like, looked like a deer in headlights. And afterwards I said to her, oh, my God, how did you go? And she's like, so shit. She's like, I got nothing. She's like, I feel like a fraud. I'm like, no, you're not. And I'm like, she goes, how'd you go? I'm like, I got all this stuff. And she's like, oh my God, Jess, I think you're like meant to do this. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that she's much more of a healer. Like she can move energy more so than she can connect with spirit. But it was just so funny that we went together so excited. And she's like, I feel shit. I got nothing. Oh, but she's such a trooper. She comes to me for like everything we go to together. Whenever I want to go to anything spiritual, she's like my little pal. So it's nice to have friends in this space.
Totally. And that's amazing, like that you were both figuring out like what your modality was, because I speak to a few friends of mine who we're all like dipping our toes in this sort of work, and we're all trying to figure out, like one of my friends does a lot of like dream work and a lot of like lucid dreaming and connects with spirits that way. And I think it's just so amazing to like be on that journey and figure out what you're called to do.
Yeah, we're all so different. And this is why I'm such a big believer in supporting other women in this area, because you can have two psychic mediums like stand next to each other and we work so differently. Like everyone is so different. And this is why I always say as well that when you're looking for somebody to do a reading with, like a medium or a healer or whatever you might be looking for, make sure you align with the person. Look them up and like see them talk or see what their humor's like or their approach and see if that's something that's that resonates with you. Because sometimes we'll have people who, you know, clients who come to me and they're like, oh my God, Jess was amazing. She was X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. And they recommend a friend or whatever. And maybe the friend didn't enjoy it as much as what they did because I'm not their kind of person. So kind of take it from your perspective when you look at someone and you think, oh my God, yes, I would love to be read by them. Really trust your gut with that because it's a thing.
Hi everyone, a quick reminder that if you are loving this chat, I would be so grateful if you could take 2 minutes now to jump on whatever platform you're listening to this and leave a review or share the episode you're currently listening to on social media. I'd love to see where you're listening from, if you're going for a walk, if you're at the gym on the treadmill, if you're driving. Obviously, don't take a photo if you're driving. But it is so incredible to see that we now have listeners from over 35 countries tuning in. And the more that we grow, the bigger guests I can bring you. I am so, so grateful that you're here on this journey with me. And I'm excited about the life chats that we have coming up with some absolutely inspiring guests. Thank you so much.
Do you think that people can learn this skill, or do you think that it's innately you're born with being able to connect with spirit?
I think we've all got something in us. It's just how open we are to exploring it. So I don't think I'm a chosen one, or like, you know, I've been born differently to everyone else. I just think I've had a thirst for it because I've had a need to. Like, I've wanted to connect with the other side because I have people over there that I want to connect with all the time. And I've always wanted to help people. Like, I actually studied psychology when I came out of school, and I got to my third year and ended up finishing my bachelor course. And then I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. I'm like, I cannot be a psychologist. There is no way I could sit with everyone in their grief every single day and like not cry with them. And I just don't think I'm strong enough. And this is what I mean, spirit, fast forward all these years later, like that was when I was what, like 20 years old, and I'm 35 this year, I think. I lose track now. But now I'm doing it, but just in a totally different way that feels so much more aligned with me and my soul. Like, it's not traditional. It's more about the feeling and the sensing, and spirit just bring this energy that's so different. So it's just so funny how things unfold.
Totally. Can we speak a little bit more about like your personal practice? So what routines and rituals do you find that you need to set yourself up to be able to like be in this space, to hold really firm boundaries, perhaps with, as you just said, people that are carrying a lot of grief or emotions that you don't want to fully absorb? Because I imagine that's quite challenging. Like if you were to do multiple readings in a day and you're getting all these different energies and people who are dealing with different things, how do you have any form of boundary in this form of work?
Yeah. So for me, I have really strong rituals before and after a reading. Mm-hmm. So before a reading, I will protect myself with like certain essential oils that I have. I've got crystals that I like to use. Mm-hmm. I do my exercise where I'm sort of opening myself up to spirit. And basically, I like to imagine it that it's kind of like a door, like it's a doorway to spirit. So I'll open my portal and I'll allow the loved ones of the person that I'm reading for to come through, but only with the highest level of love and compassion. So I don't allow any negative fear-based energies, any spirits that don't align with them, anyone that doesn't come with good intention. Like, I just don't play in that space. So I always come from a place of high vibration and positivity. And a lot of my readings, although can be quite heavy at times, always have a lightness to them. Like, we always end on a light note, or the advice that spirit bring through is always incredibly empowering. Like, I don't like to sit in the grief too long, and neither does spirit when they come through me. They kind of like to lighten the mood up. So that's just a little snippet as to what it's like to have a reading with me. But I also have a necklace that I always hold, and people probably see that a lot when they're looking at me and my reels or when I'm reading for you. And it's actually very connected to my grandparents. So there's two little charms on there, one for my nana and one for my granddad. And they're kind of like my anchors to the spirit world. So they protect me in that space. So I always make sure that I have that with me. So I'm basically opening myself up to people. And then after a reading, I close myself down and I send their energy back to them. And I also ask their spirits to exit my portal the way that they entered. Okay. So there's lots of things. And then I sage and Palo Santo, and, you know, I'm very big on the cleansing side of things. But yeah, it's really finding out what works for you, because you can try a whole heap of different things that other people teach you, but you really have to find what resonates and aligns with you as a practitioner. So yeah, it's full on.
I can imagine. You also just said like you don't play in the space of negative energies. Is that something you've had to learn to do? Like, I imagine something that does kind of scare me, and maybe it's just that I'm not totally informed, but like if I were to play in this space or start to like get curious, that maybe I wouldn't be able to control negative energies that come through, or like people speak about these spooky encounters they have. Like, has that ever happened to you, or is that something that you've just not allowed to come into your life?
Yeah. So the reason why I have such strict boundaries, and now I've actually created a portal in my home, because spirit were just coming in everywhere. It was like every single door, nook, cranny, they're freaking there. Like, it was just too much. So I've created a portal in my home so that now spirit can only enter in that particular area and exit in that particular area, so then I can contain them, essentially. And it was because my sister passed away when she was 28. So this would have been 3 or 4 years ago. And her and I had a really up and down relationship. Like when she was here, we were sometimes close, sometimes not. It was just a bit hit or miss. And she actually started haunting us. So it was so full on. And I knew it was her because I saw her face. She would like breathe on me at night and wake me up. Like you'd hear this like, like next to my face. It was fucked. Then one night I woke up and our front door was wide open and we have like 3 deadlocks on it. And then I think it was 4 or 5 a.m. So I got up and I heard this big bang and it was the door flying open. And then I shut the door and I went into our bedroom and I looked through the blind out the front because I was like, the sensor light went off. I was like, there was no one out there though when I just looked. So I'm like, there's got to be someone out the front. This is weird. Then my car started to unlock itself and lock itself again like 3 times. I was nowhere near the keys, like nowhere near it.
Too much.
I was like, this is so freaking crazy. And then all this weird shit started happening to everyone in the family. Like everyone was getting blood noses. Like they weren't even living in the same house. Like Jade got electrocuted on our stove. There was all this shit that was like going on and it was madness. And I was like, this is just not normal. So I ended up actually contacting one of my friends. I'm like, okay, this is before I had my portal. So I was just saging the hell out of my house. I was putting crystals on every window.
Like bushes of sage.
Literally, it was like a freaking smoke show in here. So I was like, crystals everywhere, salt on every door and window. Jade was like, what the fuck? There's all this salt like falling on my head when I opened the door. And
onions in the corner of every room.
It was literally like an exorcism in here. And nothing was working. Absolutely nothing that people had told me had worked ever. So when I created this portal, it did work. That's how I could contain her because I was like, all right, there's no way anyone can come in here without me opening and closing this portal. And also I made my grandfather the protector and guardian of my portal. So he's the one who lets all of the spirits in and out. So every time I'm reading for you guys, it's my granddad who is greeting your people, making sure that they're A-okay.
Wow. What do you think she was trying to communicate with you, or do you think she was just trying to make herself known? Like what do you see from that experience?
I don't really know what she was up to. I think that she obviously had a lot of unfinished business, and I just refused to be the person who does the messaging for her because she just didn't come from a good place. It wasn't like she was love bombing us and there was all these like beautiful signs. It was terrifying. And I think because I actually went to my mentor and I said, what's my sister doing? Like, what is going on here? And she just said, oh, she thinks it's funny. Like she thinks it's funny to scare you guys. Like it's her thing. Like she used to yell in my mum's ear when she was sleeping, like, Ma, and she'd tap on the window at night, like in her ensuite. Yeah. It was serious madness. Yeah. So, but a lot of the time, the people who are haunting you, let's say, are people that you know. Mm-hmm. So when people are like, oh my God, there's ghosts and all this shit. Like, yes, sometimes there's people maybe in the house who are from previous people who might have lived there or whatever, and you can just easily sage them away. But if you're being like tormented, let's say, a lot of the time they are people that you know and you can – some people just ask them to leave and that works. Like it's a thing. You can be like, look, I'm taking command of this space. You're not welcome here. This is my house now. Can you please leave? And a lot of spirits will, but my sister is persistent. She is a persistent one. Mm-hmm. And I've actually figured out now that you can put lime in your room and it takes away spirit.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So guys, you can just get limes, cut them up and put them around your house in like little dishes and it takes away any like negative energies, any negative spirits. I like to put it in my bedroom a lot because then you have really sound sleep. Mm-hmm. And I've found since I've done that like nothing really disturbs me too much. So it's a little hack for you.
I love that. You don't have to answer this following question, but you have shared a little bit online. Like we're talking about boundaries and protecting yourself. You've shared like, not only have you had to work for some pretty intense bosses, but also growing up with a family that was like quite intense as well. How do you think both of those experiences shape like not only the person that you are, but the work that you do?
Yeah, I think that if I hadn't have gone through that, I probably wouldn't be here because they pushed me to stand in my power and put up boundaries and let people go in my life that weren't serving me. And I don't think I would have the belief in myself that I have today if I was surrounded by narcissists and people that don't align with me and make me feel stupid. And I think that growing up in a home like fueled with alcohol and drugs and inappropriate behavior and things like that, I don't think that I would be able to be as open of a channel as what I am now. And also I think that it allows me to be able to connect with my clients on such a deeper level, because when they've been through similar experiences, I feel it so heavily. And so I can relate and be able to give and deliver the messages that I need to in a way that I feel like will land well with them. Mm-hmm. And this is something that, you know, a lot of people don't talk about. You're dealing with, in this space, lots of different people, lots of different personalities, and you kind of have to tailor your approach sometimes to make sure that the messages land well. And I'm very lucky in that I've been exposed to executive spaces, and I am a drama queen, and I did all of that in school, and I'm very good at articulating things, and I'm very good at English, and I've got this executive experience that I feel like if I hadn't have been in those EA roles at that level, I would not know how to communicate the way that I do today. So directly and clearly, and the messages that come through and the way I can deliver it, I really, in a way, thank those experiences I've had, because I wouldn't be the medium I am today without them. Mm-hmm. And I guess when that lady said to me, that psychic medium all those years ago, you're going to communicate with spirit, that you're going to do it very differently. And I think this is what kind of sets me apart sometimes, just the way that I can deliver the message. I think it's all meant to be. That's why I'm here.
Do you think that it seems to be, I don't know if this is explained by psychology or energy, or I've heard it, there's so many different terminologies to describe this, but it seems that people who are natural born healers or empathetic or empaths are kind of surrounded by this chaos of people who aren't. Like, it's almost like they're magnets and they find each other. Do you feel like that feels true for your life?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that a lot of healers are sometimes the most messed up people, the ones that have had to go through the trenches of life. And the reason why they can see the light, or I feel like in a way self-qualified to be able to do what we do, is because we've been there. Like, we get it. And I find that as a medium, I attract people who are quite similar to me or who are me years ago. And I'm like, oh, I know where you are. Like, I've been you. Yeah. I feel like I'm talking to myself most of the time when I'm reading for people. And just that energy of knowing what they're going through. And yeah, it's just, you kind of start bonding. It's a real connection tool.
It's like beyond the physical, I suppose. You understand each other in a way that is beyond like what can really be comprehended by most.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Let's change gears a little bit. I put a question box on my Instagram, and I think many people are just curious about what psychics do and mediums. And I knew that there'd be a few like funny questions that come through. So feel free to skip any, but we might just do a bit of a rapid fire.
Yeah.
These are some of the questions. Do you predict your own future?
I can get like gut instincts. Mm-hmm. So I can be like, oh, I have a feeling that this is how this is going to unfold. But no, I don't have a crystal ball for myself. It is very, very difficult to read for yourself. It's kind of not a thing. It's really difficult.
What about your wife? Like, does she ever say like, can you help me get clarity on a situation? Or is she into this sort of work? Like, what is that experience like? Can you see things that you feel like obliged to tell her?
Yeah. So she was never into any of this, but I actually kind of liked that, because she was like my little guinea pig. So I would like practice on her all the time. She was one of the first person that I tried to read for or did practicing with. It's odd because she actually has quite a strong intuition herself. So she doesn't often use me as a guide. She kind of just does things herself. But I have read for her multiple times, but more just like sporadically, and her dad's passed. So I've connected with him a couple of times. But yeah, you would think it's kind of like if you have, you know, a masseuse as a wife or whatever, and you're like, rub me down every day. Like, it's kind of just, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, for sure. Someone said, this is kind of in the same nature. Do you know how you're going to die or how other people are going to die?
No. And I never, ever get it. I don't ask for it. And this is kind of when, how I said before, that I don't play in that fear space. Like, people will ask me what's coming for my future, and in like that kind of negative way, if anyone asks me anything like that, like, do you know when this person's going to die, or like how much longer we have with them? Like, I get that a little bit. Sometimes I can get like an inkling of like, oh, I feel like the next 6 months is going to be quite significant in that space.
Yeah.
But I won't be like, cool, they're going to die on this day by like, no. Like, I don't think spirit want to deliver that. Like, we don't want people living in that fear mindset. I don't think that that's healthy at all.
And also it kind of undermines the entire human experience. Like, we don't know. That's kind of the point. And if I think that if we start like forcing the answers, sometimes it might, yeah, undermine like what we're really here to do, which is like trust and experience.
Yeah, I agree. Something I don't want to know. At all.
No, I often think like if I knew it would change everything, I would probably try and live in a way that either was a reaction to how soon it was, or I would like try and predict how I thought it would happen and prevent it. Like, and it would also just be in the back of my mind every day that it was coming. Whereas you kind of disassociate to the fact that, well, I do anyway, that we're going to die, and I just like try to enjoy being here.
Yeah, it'll ruin it. Ruins the journey.
It would. Another person said, like, how do you develop a gut instinct? Or you use the word intuition. I think this is so interesting because for anxious people or people who are highly strung, like, how do you discern what is an anxious, like, feeling of maybe something that's not totally reliable and, like, a genuine gut instinct or a warning from your body?
Yeah, so basically our minds and bodies are trained in a way to like keep us safe. So what I suggest is if you sit there and you're in a fear-based state and the gut instinct that you're getting at that time is to just not do something because you're like, oh my God, it'll probably end badly. That is not your intuition. That is like fear-based anxiety kind of thing. Intuition is more about like the pull, like the pull to do something with no explanation. So it can be, I really feel like I should do this. Like, I don't know why. It makes me a bit nervous to think that I should, but I just feel like I think it's going to be good. Yeah. That is intuition. It always comes from a positive place and kind of like it's unexplainable. Whereas fear and anxiety is based on something that will go wrong and something that feels intense and scary. That's not intuition.
For sure. At all. I hear we've all heard that quote, hopefully, from Oprah that's like, intuition is that voice and that whisper, and it starts as a whisper, and the more you ignore it, it turns into like a spoken word, and it gets louder until it's yelling, and then like eventually the whole brick wall like falls down on you to make you stop and listen. And I just think that's such a good way to describe it because we all have it within us. It's just that some people don't know how to, I think, listen or like drop in.
Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of anxiety, like we live in anxiety, a lot of us. It's like, oh my God, what about this? And what about that? And I think the more that you can practice grounding yourself and bringing yourself back to the moment, so whether that's with breath work or meditation, mindfulness, whatever it might be, even just coming from a place of gratitude, thinking about all the things that you do have, the things that you are grateful for, the things that you are doing well. We're so trained to go to the negative. And I think when you live in the negative space and you don't actually flip it over to the other side of the coin, it's really hard to connect to your intuition. So it kind of, if you want to start connecting more so with spirit or having that gut instinct really get bigger and louder, you have to quieten your mind. So you have to kind of figure out what works for you to help calm your nervous system. So before you start trying to connect, I would start mastering your mindset more so.
Sure. Such good advice. I think so many people listening will be like very curious. I think a lot of people who listen to this podcast are already naturally curious about spirituality because the entire premise of the show is to talk about the meaning of life. So there'll definitely be people listening who are thinking like, I want to, you know, develop my practice or how can I start to like hone my skills? And I think that's like such sage advice that it comes from within you and being able to balance your mind and quieten your mind as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Someone else said, this is an interesting one. This is the last one I've got on my little list. Why do people not think psychics or mediums, why do people think they're not real or think that they might be like a hoax or be able to just say things that everyone could connect to. Do you think that that's fear or that is a lack of connection to themselves and something greater? Like, where is that coming from?
Yeah, I think people who are skeptical, it's very hard for some people to believe things that they can't see. And I think that's a lot. That's part of it. There's a lot of black and white people out there who are very scientific and need the facts. And whereas this isn't about that. This is about, like, sure, when you have a reading, there'll be things that like a medium might pull out and you're like, oh my God, like that is a fact to me because that did happen. Mm-hmm. And I think that they just, I don't know, they're just kind of maybe in fear too, like fear that if they do come to a medium and nothing resonates, that it proves that it's not real. So they'd rather just not engage with it at all and not be disappointed. So I think there's a lot of people out there who really struggle in that space, and it's not until they have an experience themselves or they have that, you know, profound moment that they're actually able to be a bit more open to the whole spirituality game.
I interviewed a woman called Dr. Lottie, and she was like this high-flying engineer who worked in really corporate spaces, and she was like, she didn't believe in any of it. And she had two near-death experiences like close to one another, back-to-back, and it completely changed her life. She like connected to her ancestors, had all these spiritual experiences, and now is like a clairvoyant and a healer, ancestral healer, and has completely like left her old life behind because she had these experiences that opened her up to like this whole other way of living. And I think that's amazing.
Wow. See, yeah. She had an experience. She had like a profound experience that kind of opened herself up to this whole thing. It's just, it's such an amazing space to sit in if you just allow it to be.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. We'll start to wrap up. Thank you so much for just being so generous with your knowledge and your advice and just sharing more about who you are. I think your work speaks for itself. Like, you obviously having as many people as you do on your wait list and being able to grow your business so quickly is a testament to who you are and the way that you work, which is extremely generous. But I think you're an incredible human too. Like, you've obviously been through some shit. You've come out the other side and you're like using your gifts to give back to people, which I think is extremely admirable. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
Of course. And thank you for my amazing reading yesterday, which I won't like share the details. I'm happy to speak to people in DMs if they want to ask me about it, but I really do think you need to like have your own experience. And I wouldn't want to like preempt anyone to have like a preconceived idea of what it's like, but I think you should totally speak to Jess and send her a message if you're interested. It was amazing. We had like a big chat about the next 12 months for me and my future. You also were able to connect with my nan and my pop, who interestingly hasn't yet passed, but is like in the in-between. So that was so amazing to like be able to connect to his energy. But yeah, I just highly recommend if anyone's interested, you send Jess a DM. But before we wrap, the last question that I always ask on this podcast, you can answer in as many or as little words as you like, is what is the meaning of life?
I think the meaning of life is to really just be content with yourself and to like bring it all back in. I think we spend so much time worried about what other people will think of this or getting validation outside ourselves. If you actually just sit with yourself, you'll notice that there isn't that much going on and it's not as big and scary as what we think it is.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Where can people find you, message you and see your work?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram at Jessica Lynn Mediumship. Oh, you can go to my website, www.jessicalynnmediumship.com.
Amazing. Thank you, Jess. And
thank you.
I want to share this.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Please let me know who you'd love to hear from next, or if you have a story to share, I'd love to get in touch with you. You can connect directly with me on Instagram at Life Chats Podcast, one word. And every review and share really does help so much in the early days of building a podcast. So if you've enjoyed this conversation, please share it on social media, or you can snap a pic of where you might be listening and jump onto Apple Podcasts and give us a review. I really do appreciate the support. More than you know. Have a beautiful morning, afternoon, or evening wherever you may be listening in the world. I'm Georgia May, and this is Life Chats.